This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 is out now on Exactly Right. New episodes on Mondays. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute.
Hey, boo! It's me, Roz. Oh my gosh. What a week. Okay, this last week's episode, I mean, Chris Colfer was truly a gift from the paranormal celebrity interview podcast Gods. And I received so many messages and even talked to people on the street, people at a show I did this week. I mean, people loved that episode. So if you haven't heard it yet, go back and listen. It really was so, so wonderful. And I absolutely loved it. And I'm so grateful that Chris did the show. And like always, I think I've got another amazing one for you today. I've got a return guest, R.H. Stavis, Rachel Stavis, who is a writer and an author and an exorcist. She wrote the book Sister of Darkness. And if you're unfamiliar, here's what I might suggest. Before you listen, maybe go back to the first time Rachel was on. It's a two-parter. It was last October. So it was October 1st and October 8th. And we get into a little bit more R.H. Stavis 101, because what she does is unlike what other people do. It's unlike what you see in movies of exorcists. She's a non-denominational exorcist. She can see what she calls entity, what I think a lot of people refer to as demons. And she has different categories of the strength of these demons or entities. And so she has kind of her own language. So we get into that just a little bit on this episode. And she has an exciting announcement that you'll get to hear on this show. And I cannot wait for what she has in store for you. I would love to do a listener episode soon, so please send me your listener stories to ghostedbyroz@gmail.com and put in the subject line, listener episode. Okay, let's get to this conversation. At the end of my conversation with her today in the little outro of the show, I have something insane that happened that I will share with you. On the flip side, I'll see you over there at the outro and I'll tell you about it because it relates to today's conversation and next week's conversation. And if you want to hear a little bit more of my conversation with R.H. Stavis, go to my Patreon, patreon.com/RozDresFelez. On my second tier, I have a really interesting little clip with her where I asked her about haunted dolls and past lives and Bigfoot and all that kind of stuff. We also talk about when she sees these entities on people, whether it's on TV or in person, what that's like for her. So we get into that as well. So go check that out. All right, here we go. My conversation this time with R.H. Stavis. On with the show. Oh my God. You guys, back by popular demand, I have got R.H. Stavis here. Hello.
Hello.
I cannot tell you how many people, after you were on my show, so many people have told me that they have read your book, that they're now also obsessed with you. We
so nice.
Love you over here at Ghosted.
Well, thank you so much. I love you guys too. And your fans are amazing.
Yeah, they really are. And some of them have been like, I've heard from like one or two people that told me that they've reached out to you. I don't remember if they've necessarily had sessions or anything. Have you been doing sessions now that we're getting back?
Yeah. So like, you know, for me, it's kind of been weird, like, well, for everyone, I guess, like the weirdest last year and a half.
Well, I've read your book. I think things are always a little more weird for you than everyone else.
Maybe slightly more weird because I'm seeing some shit as all this shit goes down. But yeah, no, I have done sessions here and there. It's so weird because like I never know because of my schedule so crazy when I'll be able to do it. So I'm always like, these could be the last ones. And then something opens up and I'm able to do it. So I've actually been doing them this month. Just a little bit here and there. And I've had so many visitations because I started doing remote sessions again. Oh, the entities are wild, wild, wild in summer.
Really? Well, because I know you were telling me that you kind of have this, I can't remember if you said like every 6 weeks or so, you have these moments where there's a lot of visitations from entities and stuff. Are you in one of those right now?
Well, like I call those bad moons because like etheric periods. Like, you know, like if they come, like basically I get visitations from like sundown to sun up over and over and over again. So there's like no sleeping during those times.
Oh God.
But I know it happens less frequently if I'm not doing specific work with exorcisms. So if I'm not actually performing exorcisms, I don't get them as much. But when I open myself up to remote cleansings again, it happens again. So I did have one of those like 3 nights ago and it was startling.
What happened? Tell us.
So I don't remember all of them. It's very hard to remember all of them because you get so many visitations, but this is going to sound like the weirdest thing ever. Well, I guess it all does. Okay. Talking to me, it sounds like the weirdest thing ever. I get it.
You're in the right place. Don't worry. We love the weird.
I'm glad because I feel like that's my entire life story. Mm-hmm. So I have a treadmill. This is a weird way to start the story, but I have a treadmill and I have gotten into running like in the last, I don't know, 5 months because it helps my brain kind of deal with all the stress of everything going on every day. And I'm not great at it. I'm going to be honest. Like I'm not very fast or anything like that, but I try to do it pretty consistently. And the other night when this all started happening, one of the ones that I remember very distinctly was I was trying to sleep. This was like 4 a.m. So really late, like almost light. So at the end of the journey, like I was trying to sleep and in comes this, like, and this is what this entity presented itself as, like a 3.5-foot, very obese, bald, naked man just walks through the door of my bedroom. Yes. And it says to me, I just ran 4 miles. And I had two thoughts. The first one is that's not, you're not a person, number one, but nice try. Cause that's what they try to do is just like lull you into thinking this is just normal behavior. Yeah. And then second, I was like, bitch, you did not run 4 miles. You did not. Like that made me angry. I was like, I'm not running 4 miles a day. You did not. So I turned around and I was like, no. And then of course it turns to you and the face like opens and there are like rows and rows of teeth. It's like exactly what you think it would look like.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then I have to go through the trouble of getting it out and not waking people or dogs or cats or everything else in the house.
So do you ever, like when something like that happens, you've encountered so many of these entities over the years, but are you ever like, I don't know, asking them more questions or like, now what's going on here? Who are you? What is this? Or are you just like, get out of here?
Well, I don't love when they're invading your space, right? So that's not like, we don't have to sit down conversations at that point. So for me, like the visitations are all basically what they're trying to do is they're trying to get inside to see out, if that makes sense. Like they're trying to understand. It's not even malicious, really, visitations. And I try to explain that to people who have sensitivities. It's not really malicious. They're just trying to pop in, if you will, to see through your eyes in a way, to see how you see them, because they're not used to being
so they can't just go into a mirror like the rest of us.
I mean, they can see themselves, I'm sure. I don't know. Actually, never asked them that question. But they're not used to human beings seeing that. They're used to kind of walking under the radar and doing shit in the background, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think anytime that someone does or has a moment where they do, because, you know, people who have sensitivities, like they have moments here and there where they see shadows or this or that, you know, bit of them. You know, it's hard to explain, like these are malevolent things that are actually not trying to be malevolent in that moment.
Oh, interesting. They've got their own vulnerabilities.
They do. They actually do have quite a lot. You're actually so much stronger than they are, and they don't want people to find out.
Oh my God. It's just like any like living people that are, you know, malicious. It's like, it's so obvious. It's like, you've got something going on here that you need to deal with.
It's so true. Like, I've always found, and I like, you know, just in entertainment, not to change the subject there, but it's kind of the same, right? Like in entertainment, I've always found that people who were just making it big were always the people who were the worst to other people. And the people who are so big are the people who are the most generous and loving and wonderful. Mm. It's just like, they don't have that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Interesting. God, and it's just too bad that you can't shoo those awful people away the way that you can. You know, I wish I could.
I mean, you can tell them to fuck off the same way, I suppose. But, you know, humans don't listen as well.
Right. Well, so, okay, the last time I talked to you was in the fall. So it's been not quite a year. So I'm so curious about what a year is like in your world. I mean, there's probably been so many visitations and exorcisms and stuff, but I mean, how has it been?
You know, it's been kind of rough, I think. I mean, like we talked about a little bit there, like for everybody, you know, we've had this crazy pandemic times and like, you know, kind of moving in and out of that now and like having whatever the new normal is. And I think people have just been so on edge, like so on edge about everything. Like I feel like the world has so much more anxiety right now. Like, I don't know if everybody feels that, but I feel it all the time and it makes me crazy. Yeah. And so there's a lot more activity with Entity. Like there's just a lot. And summer is the worst. It's the worst time for Entity. Like, I mean, best time for them, worst time for us. Because the heat makes people really angry.
Oh, I can relate to that.
Oh, it's so true. And like, I'm a person who will tell you right away, like summer is my least favorite season. I don't like heat. I don't like a lot of things. That's like, I don't like how bright it is. I'm like a vampire. I'm like, I don't like any of those. But there are people who think they love summer and they're lying. I'm going to tell you right now that they're lying because they say they love summer and they may have like nostalgic feelings for summer. Like I think people have that because of school and when they were out of school and, you know, if they went, they live in places with big seasons and stuff like that. But the energy does not lie and the energy is bad. Like people are very much more angry. They have like shorter fuse. All of that stuff in summer, and summer tends to be more stagnant, you know, energetically. People feel blocked. They feel like, you know, they're not moving much, you know, in terms of like career and like love life and all the things kind of shut down just a little bit. And again, that's not for everybody, but it's just overall. So the entities have a great time in summer because this is the time that they come out and play.
Yeah. I've noticed that with this weird historical time that we're in right now after the, you know, I keep catching myself saying like, now that the pandemic's over, which obviously it isn't, but you know what I mean? Like now that people are vaxxed and they're like going out and doing things, I have been on stage a lot lately and I've encountered so much messiness, you know, so many people that don't really know how to be back into the world right now. I'm curious if that would, that kind of maybe reckless behavior and like, yeah, we're free, we're going to be crazy. Like, is that something that that entities can be attracted to?
Oh, yeah, because you're looking at low frequency. I mean, it sounds like you're not, right? Because people are like, yeah, I'm out, so great. But underneath that, people really have not had time to deal with the trauma of this. This was a massive, giant trauma for people. And on a massive global scale. And it's still happening. And so I think people are not, they're trying to, like every other trauma people have when they just don't know how to deal with things, because we're not, again, taught how to do this. We just stuff a lot of trauma down and keep going, you know? And we're taught that, to get over things, to move on and get over things. But, you know, as I always say, there's no such thing as that. You have to move through something. So if you're just trying to step over it, it's not going anywhere. So people are going out, they're trying to be reckless, they want to catch up, they're trying to stuff that trauma down by doing all the things that they didn't get to do for like a year in a night. So, you know, if you're like trying to drink a year's worth of tequila in one night, it's going to be problematic and you're going to be messy.
Right. Oh, God. Well, you know, it's another thing that since I've talked to you, there's been some like demon news. I don't know. There's been a lot of talk about the Conjuring movie that recently came out. Are you familiar with that case at all?
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm all about like all the Warrens cases. So shoot it at me.
Yeah. I was just curious your take on that, because like this whole story of this man, Arnie Johnson, that committed a murder and said that the devil made him do it. What do you think about that? Is that true in your eyes, or is it a possible thing?
Well, yeah. I mean, we have a lot more than that too. Like we have Amityville, we have a lot of murders that people, those are very famous, right? But there are a lot of murders that happen where people are on death row and they talk about how they heard voices and they had all this, you know, telling them what to do. And a lot of people pass that off as either just mental illness or a made up story, right? Trying to get them out of whatever they've done. And to a certain degree, I'm sure that's true. I'm sure there are plenty of people who've done that or certainly have mental illness. I mean, you know, very likely, but there is also, in my world at least, the giant possibility that they absolutely heard voices and were told what to do. I mean, that's kind of how high-end entity works. As we've talked about before, and like in the book and all that stuff, there are many different types of entities, and some are more common than others, and some are looking for world changers, you know, and the more malignant and intelligent they get, the higher they're looking for. And so those are the ones that are looking for people they can manipulate. But I should say that it's very hard to manipulate someone who isn't already heading in that direction. Does that make sense?
Right. Because with that case, so... I mean, allegedly, I don't know what to say, but, you know, a young boy was being possessed, and I think it was his sister's boyfriend was like, hey, demon, like, get out of the little boy and get into me. And then he became possessed. So,
yeah, I mean, that part of the story for me, from my experience, and I've had a lot of years of experience, we don't need to talk about how many, we don't need to talk about how old I am now, but many, let's just say many years, thousands and thousands of people, it's very unlikely. You know, that's a thing that we show in movies all the time that drives me kind of bananas, because that's like a trope we rely on as storytellers for horror and possession, that they can move from person to person to person in the room.
Yeah, I mean, The Exorcist has a moment of that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really work that way. And I should also say that on occasion it can, so I'll go through that. Most of the time it cannot do that, because how entity works is it's working on a trauma basis. It's looking for low frequency, and it's looking for a low frequency pattern that it can attach to. And not everybody has the same pattern. So it's unlikely that someone in the room would have the exact same signature, energetic signature to attach to. However, there are some cases where, you know, what I call realm walkers, which is like the biggest of bad, the most intelligent, like what people think is the devil, but is not. There's more than one and more than one on this planet. Those are the kinds that could, for a moment, move into someone else if they wanted to, but it wouldn't stay unless it thought that that was like, unless that was the end goal, which I guess the story could be that, but.
According to the Warrens, now I don't know how they figured this out, but they believed that there were like 43 demons or something that they encountered from the exorcism and stuff. So,
and that's a lot, because entities don't like to share, and so most will essentially cannibalize the others to keep
God.
So, you know, it's that's more than one entity. That's such a thing. People say, like, it just, they're like, yeah, I have 40,000 entities. I'm sure I have 40,000 entities. And it's like, no, you have one. you know, and that's true usually for places too. If a place is held by entity, let's just say that going back into the story even further, it was the space, which it wasn't, but let's just say it's the space, right? The space is where the problem is. And in a way it was, because I remember that movie, but let's say it was the space. Even the space, like, to hold a space needs an entity that's on the higher end of scale, and they're not going to share with other entities. It's just not going to happen. They're very possessive, if you will.
But I mean, do they, so let's say there's like, you know, one of these high end, which makes it sound like they're fancy or something, but one of these high end demons or entities is like in a house, and there's like another, like, up and coming kind of demon trying to, you know, trying to make its way up, and they cannibalize it, they eat it or whatever, they destroy it. Does that make the high end one more powerful?
No, because the higher end ones are already kind of, they already have the power of everything that's lower. So that's kind of how it works. Like, we have the lowest on the totem pole, which I call a five because it looks like a five Barker drawing. Mm-hmm. And to me anyway, and that's the one that most people carry, you know, and I know we've talked about this, so I won't get into it crazy, but, like, you know, it's what most people pick up. Those are kind of the leeches of the entity world, and people can kind of slough them off. They get better and higher frequency and don't even know they had them. And those are the ones that are like, if you're mad, you have rage, you know, if you're depressed, you're suicidal, just kind of amplifies everything all the way up to that realm walker. And that realm walker can take up spaces, can take up people, can lure people from other countries, states, everywhere. And it has such a pull and such a range. It can control multiple people at once. I mean, just a lot of things. So it doesn't really make it more and any kind of stronger. It just gets rid of it.
What are your thoughts on the Warrens?
You know, should I say? I don't know. I'm not a huge fan.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about them on here, and this is what I come to the conclusion of is, you know, they were trailblazers in a lot of ways, and I think that a lot of times when you're doing something that a lot of people haven't done yet, you're gonna, like, you know, make mistakes or make your own conclusions or whatever, and so I think that when people have a lot of criticism of them, it has to do with that, but. But I have a lot of respect for them, for the work that they've done, but I do understand where a lot of things that they've done, it's kind of like, I don't know if that was a good thing to do or say, or, you know.
Yeah, it's a bit dicey. I mean, you know, it's hard for me, right? Because I have a much different approach than they ever did. But also, like, my concern is always, always, always for the people involved. Not to say that theirs wasn't, but I wouldn't be trying a bunch of things I don't understand or know about to potentially make things worse.
Yeah.
So my goal is always for the safety of the people involved, or the space involved with the people inside, you know. And even when I go to exercise spaces, I I have a lot of things that I expect of other people in the space. And most of the time it's that they won't be there during that time because I feel responsible for them. And I cannot be responsible for someone getting hurt, you know, in any way. That's kind of my thing. So it's rough for me because I feel like a lot of the times that they did these things, they made things worse. And, you know, that's hard. But again, you know, I don't know that they would love me so much. So
right. Yeah. I mean, well, it is kind of interesting with like these film series, because from the people that I've talked to that have worked with them, it's kind of, I mean, it's like with any time there's like these autobiographical or biographical type shows where, or movies where it's like, that's not really exactly the happy ending, but we're doing a movie here, so we're going to keep it going. Right. You know what I mean? Like it's a lot of times I think that the outcomes weren't the exact same as you see in the movies.
No, of course. I mean, you can't, right? You can't just be like, and then they got worse when they left, you know? Right.
And then
that's not great movie fodder. And also, like, they make them so endearing and lovable and wonderful in the movies. Like, you would just watch them for them, you know, for the fictional Warrens, you know, like the fictional Warrens are so tremendous, and you can, you know, like exercise demons with the power of marriage, and it's really lovely. And you know, that's not how it actually works, and I know that for a fact, but it's still fun to watch.
Oh my god, yes. And I love Vera Farmiga. Okay, well, another thing that has happened since the last time I talked to you is there's been more talk of the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, and so much.
I mean, gosh, it's gotten a couple of TV specials. And I always feel like the Cecil Hotel was like a thing that us LA weirdos like were obsessed with. And then like the internet really got into it. And now it's like that place is full blown, like join the ranks of like an Amityville or whatever. You know, it's like one of these like the most famous haunted or spooky places in the country. But yes. Yeah, did you watch the specials that have happened?
I was interviewed actually for the Cecil docu series on Netflix, but they didn't use what I said because I think they were going for, you know, more of a situation where it was about mental illness and trauma, and you know, I have feelings about that.
You know, okay, I understand that, but that, okay, that documentary series, they explored a lot of different options, and I was a little annoyed that they didn't entertain that, because that is such a huge part of, like, you know, the spiritual, haunted, whatever, that side of it is a huge part of this conversation. And when they were talking about all the internet stuff and the death metal guy and, like, all that kind of stuff, that's an aspect of this story with the internet.
Right.
And a huge part of the internet story with it is that it's, you know, haunted and what's going on with the video and these photos that have been taken and whatever. Right. So I didn't like that, but I understand why they sometimes don't have that stuff in, because it you know, I don't know, it's the same reason why they dismiss The Devil Made Me Do It in court, where they're like, no, that's a whole different kind of a territory we don't want to get into, you know?
Well, and like, here's the thing, and I actually said this in my interview, which no one will ever see, but I did say, you know, if I could go along with that journey and that idea that it's, you know, just a tragic situation and a tragic story, if it was the only one associated to this place, but it's not. It's one of so many that people know about. That date back until, you know, basically when that place was built, and then for me before that. But also there are hundreds of stories that went on in that space that are not famous, that people don't know about, that are private stories. Like, if you live in Los Angeles, you know someone who's been affected by that place.
God,
you know someone who has a story in that place. And it's not a public story. You're not going to share it, you know, you're not going to say it now. Like, you just know, oh, I know this person who was assaulted in this place, or attacked in this place, or something happened that was supernatural in this place, or whatever. But it's a well-known fact for people who live here.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm so mad that you weren't in it.
I'm not, though, because I'm going to get to do what I want to do.
What are you going to do? Okay, we've talked about how you want, like, it is a big goal for you to get in there.
Yes.
Any news on that?
Well, okay. So, in my book, that was like a whole chapter, you know, the Cecil Hotel and how I feel about the Cecil Hotel and how I cannot wait to get my hands on the Cecil Hotel. Which is, to be fair, a very large space. I don't know how much people are familiar with it, but it's a huge, huge space. And when you go in and do a cleansing like that would need, there's no stone unturned. So you would have to be there from start to finish the entire space. There's no, like, you can't just sit in a lobby and do your thing. You know, you have to go through everything. So I felt like, you know, I could use a little practice before I go through 13 floors and, 8 million square feet. So there are other places too that I'm very interested in exercising that I can't disclose just yet, but there are many places, you know, on the planet that have dark histories very similar to this, and not all of them, listen, some of them are just traumatized spaces, right? That's not necessarily where an entity is. So I can't say it's like every place that you know of that had this like mass tragedy is entity. But there are places on the earth that are. And my goal is to start setting out to those places and exercising those places to help kind of, you know, not to be cliche, right? But to help kind of make the world a better place. And that is my goal. And now I am starting to do that. So I'm very excited. And I can't talk too much about it, but one of those things is going to be happening soon. And I believe you're going to get to see it on your TVs around Halloween.
Oh my gosh. Well,
yeah,
congrats.
Really excited. Thank you.
Well, that brings up, okay, so now I have a bunch of questions just generally about this concept. Explain how it's different to exercise a building as opposed to a human.
So, you know, like with a person, it's a one-on-one, very private situation. You know, there's an attachment with a person. And again, like most of the time, people you see, or people I see, I should say, you know, they have kind of, you know, the more normal style attachments. They have Clives, you know, which we talked about. They have tricksters, and tricksters, just for reference again, like I said, I know we've talked about this, but tricksters are the ones that kind of show themselves to children as imaginary friends, or, you know, archangels or deceased people or whatever. And before people ask this, you can tell the difference by how it feels, because they're going to be like, oh no, I saw a deceased person. Is that an entity or is that my grandma? No, depends on how it feels. So, you know, they have tricksters that they've carried for a while. They have wraiths, which are the entities that are attached to, sexual violence, molestation, rape. But unfortunately, there are a lot of people with that as well. And so those are like kind of the ones that I see all the time. Not everybody has the big guys. The big guys are the ones that take spaces. So, you know, most of the time when I'm working on one person, it's, I don't want to say easier for me, more commonplace for me. And then when you're working in spaces, it's a bigger issue, because you, like I say, have to go through the entire space. There's not one place that you don't go. So it's a very long, arduous, kind of more tedious, more energetically draining situation.
God, that sounds so exhausting.
My whole life is tired, let me tell you.
Well, because I know you've talked about how the Cecil has like the biggest of the big, right? When it comes to entity.
Yes, yes, for sure.
So are there other places that have that big that you know
yes.
of?
Yes. And those are the places I'm interested in going after, you know, with my own show. Those are the ones that I'm going to be hitting pretty hard. the one that you're going to see, hopefully, for the spooky season is a little step down from that. So it's not quite that, but the ones that I'm going to be tackling next, I think will all be that.
What's like that you're allowed to talk about? What is like a building that you have encountered that has like something big and you've gotten it out of there?
I mean, I've done it a few times now. So most buildings, they have what I call collectors. So collectors are like second down, right, from the Realm Walker, from the big guy. And collectors, what they do, and I think we went over this, but I can't remember, so I'm just going to say it again. Collectors, they like to go to a place that has mass trauma, where something happened where a lot of people, you know, essentially passed. And they like to use the deceased people who are trapped in the space. And by trapped, I mean, let me just clarify that they don't think they can move on. It doesn't mean that they can't, but they're convinced that they can't. So the collector will use the deceased people like batteries, essentially, to scare the living people that come through there and then use the living people's energy. That's kind of complicated, but does that make sense?
Okay.
So it's kind of in control of the deceased people.
Got it. So when you go to these places, are you ever like, oh, that's just a deceased person, never mind, like, I'll just leave, like, do you leave it alone, or are you like, what do you do in that event?
Well, so there's a difference, right, between something that's haunted versus something that has entity. So deceased people and entity are very different. Like, entity is what people think are demons or considered demons or demonic, not, they've never been people, and then deceased people are deceased people. So, you know, when people say they have a haunt, like a house with a demon in it, usually I'm like, okay, that's probably not the case. There'd have to be some very special situation going on for an entity to sit in a house. So it's usually just a haunted house, you know, like deceased people hanging out. So what I try to do if I find a place like that, for example, what I try to do is I try to teach people how to interact with the deceased person so they can find out what they're there for, because there's usually a reason why someone's hanging out. But sometimes, on occasion, it's something like this, right, where you have to deal with a collector. And when you have to deal with a collector, they have a whole army of, like, deceased people in front of them. And so to get to the collector, what gives the collector its energy is the deceased people. So when I have that situation, what I like to do is go through and release the deceased people first. And by all I do for that is having conversation with them, finding out why they think they're trapped and what's going on, and, you know, convincing them otherwise. And so that takes its own time before you can even start working on the entity.
What about, I mean, have you encountered deceased people that are like, I'm a ghost and I like it and I'm good here?
I mean, yeah, deceased people don't shut up. That's another difference between entity and deceased people. It's like, entity doesn't want to be seen. Deceased people are like, oh, wait, you can see me? I've got so much to say. So deceased people are very chatty and they want to be around people and they want to help people for the most part, unless they were like really shitty people, which is, you know, sometimes happens. But yeah, they don't necessarily want to leave the house. They just want to have communication.
Because that's what I wonder about with like EVPs, or like when people say that they've seen like a demon or some kind of non-human creature in their home. I mean, is that the same thing that you can see, or is that, you know, manifested in a different way, or what is going on there when they, because, you know, I hear a lot of EVPs and a lot of times it's like a demon is saying this thing. Do you believe that that's typically just a deceased person?
Yeah, most of the time I do. I think it is. I mean, if special circumstances, if it's not. And that's not to say it never happens. Like I say, I mean, you could have a house that's in a very weird energetic place, or something very important happen or will be happening there, and entity caught wind of that. So that could be there, you know. I can't say never. But, you know, as far as people seeing things, there are entities that just pass through too. So sometimes I think people kind of get a glimpse of their own momentary abilities that they've kind of shut down a bit. And so maybe they caught this or that, or maybe something wanted to show itself for a second and then disappear. But we do have entities that have nothing to do with humans that are just passing through.
Well, I want to talk about this other big, exciting announcement that you have going on. Tell us what's going on. Tell us as much as you can say.
Okay. Well, I think you're talking about the show, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So for people who have watched Posies, I have gotten a question. So Posies is the short film that I wrote and co-directed with my partner, Kate Fisher. And so we've had it kind of making the festival rounds. We finished Posies right before the pandemic started, basically, and did all of everything during 2020, which was nuts, like all of the posts and everything. And so we're finally getting it to festivals and it's being enjoyed. And some of you guys have been watching it and I really appreciate it.
I highly endorse it. It is beautiful. It is kind of disturbing. I mean, it is disturbing at times, but it's beautifully done. It's just, it's so cool.
I really appreciate that because, like, for me, the only thing I really want to make is, like, beautiful horror.
Yes.
You know, beautiful body horror, which is not usually together. We don't usually see those two terms together, like the very, very visceral and very gory, which this is not, but where I'm moving into is. And so you see that, and it's like a gore fest, and that's how people usually direct it. But what I want is to make it obscenely gorgeous so that you really just can't look away at the same time that it's very, very troublesome.
That's how I felt.
I appreciate that. That's exactly what I wanted. Yeah. So long story short, like people have asked because they've now been watching the film and it's available to see and will be more available by the available in August. That my executive producer is Pamela Adlin. And so people have been asking, like, well, how did that happen? What's going on? And so,
well, if anyone doesn't know who Pamela Adlin is, like, first of all, Google her because you know who she is. She's amazing. She's been acting for a long time and producing. Also, she's the voice of Bobby Hill from King of the Hill. She's just the greatest.
My favorite animated man. Yeah, you can have a favorite animated man. So yeah, so people have been asking, like, how did that happen? And it's because about 2 years ago, we met each other because my book, Sister Darkness, who hopefully a lot of people have read, I hope so, you know, was going out for television. And very long story short, she was loving it. And now we are making a show for a series for FX, which is very exciting. And she is just the greatest, an amazing writer, amazing partner, executive producer, like everything. And I should add too that we're also partnered with Bellatrist, the lovely Emma Roberts company, and they are wonderful as well. And so it's been a really fabulous experience and we're really excited to bring this to you. But during this process is when Posies was finally finished and she was like, I'd really like to watch it. And she watched it and turns out she loved it as well. And now she's also on board, or her company is on board, to help produce Wires, which is the feature script that we are now moving forward with in terms of funding and everything, which Posies was kind of not a proof of concept for because it's its own thing, but just kind of, you know, the short to make sure we could do all the things that we wanted to do.
Oh my God. How do you have the time to be even talking to me? I'm so honored.
No, thank you. Oh my goodness. I love talking to you.
So the TV series, is it pretty much like, you know, this cool exorcist and her adventures or what?
I mean, yeah, I think we're trying to do that. And I think, you know, there are a lot of ways you could take my story, right? Like, it could be like fantastical. It could be really grounded. It could be like messy because I'm pretty messy. It could be a lot of things. And Pamela is really fabulous because, as you know, I'm sure you've seen and watched Better Things. I'm sure a lot of people.
Yes.
And it's such a wonderful, brilliant show. And she's such a, first of all, such a great person, but also such a vulnerable person who's not afraid to be vulnerable. And she shows people who she is. And that's one thing that I was so impressed with when I met her. One of the reasons that I was so like, oh my gosh, I have to work with her is because she really is exactly who you hope and think she is. And I think the reason why is because she is so bold in the way that she writes things for herself. And so when we started writing, I think personally, like, I was a little afraid to go there. you know, because I have a lot of weird stuff about my past that I don't really disclose. Like in my book, I do talk about like my mother was a malignant narcissist and killed herself with prescription drugs. And it's just like a whole, I have a whole lot of trauma in my background, you know? And so when I write, I was like, you know, writing the story, but I was like, I didn't go to the place that was like the grossest place for me. Do you know what I mean by that? Like the place that was like, oh, it makes me feel sick to write mm-hmm. that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and she was like, no, that's what we got to do. We got to write that. And then I'd put it down on paper and I would be like, oh my God, no, that's totally right. It's totally right. Like you have to share your whole self. You have to expose your whole self. And that's an incredible lesson that I'm still struggling with that thank goodness I have such a powerhouse to work with who does it all the time. Who's like, nope, does that make you want to barf? Yeah, you got to do that.
Totally. Oh my God. This is going to be so good.
Thank you so much.
You wrote your book, did you feel that way? Did you feel like, oh, this is so weird to be sharing this or?
Yeah. I did. And, you know, I had never been public before that book ever. And I still consider myself kind of not yet, like it's sort of happening, but I'm not like in a weird place yet for the most part. And so, yeah, it was really weird for me to every week just kind of go through like the therapy sessions of my life. To put in a book for like everybody to read. And like, if you thought that was vulnerable, this is like 1,000 times worse.
But isn't it so like freeing to get that out there?
It is. Like I never thought it would be, but you know, like writing a scene, there's a specific scene that we wrote that is about something very traumatic that happened to me like as a baby. And I'm just like, I write that and I've never even talked about that before. And I can't say what it is obviously because it's in an episode, but you know, like I wrote it and I was like, I'm literally writing the story of what happened to me when I couldn't even speak or think basically. Wow. And I'm just like, I can't believe I'm doing that. Like, you know what I mean? Like your most vulnerable, like weird shit about you that you're just like, oh my God, I am writing this now for people to see.
Yeah.
It's just really strange, but yes, it is extremely freeing. Cause once it's done, you're like, oh wow, that happened. Oh shit.
Yeah. So what's the plan with the show as of right now?
We are in the writing stages right now. So we are kind of getting episodes together and creating something amazing to show you guys. And hopefully, fingers all crossed, we're starting to get going next year.
Ooh, can't wait. Well,
yeah, thank you so much.
I hope you can come back when you can talk more about all
I know,
these things.
I'm still like half secret.
No, it's okay. I'm so happy to hear even this news. I know a lot of people will be happy as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I'm pretty psyched. I'm really psyched. I'm very happy to be doing this and with such a great network. And, you know, we're really trying to make something that is interesting and different. And I hope that we do. I hope that it comes across.
Well, you just have like such a unique skill, and this is something I've talked about when you've come up, where I'm like, you guys, I really don't think she's lying about this. I really think it's real. and that's like, you know, I'm a skeptical person in a lot of ways, but
you are such
a unique case where it's like, there's enough reason, I feel, to believe that what you're talking about is legit. And there's enough people that can co-sign for that. And it's just, it's kind of rare that you meet somebody with all of, like, you know, all of these things in one package, you know?
Well, I just think, you know, like, I just tell it as I see it, you know, like I'm not trying to start a church or convert anybody. And like, I have no interest in making you believe something you don't want to believe, right? That doesn't matter. And I always say, you know, when people ask me, like, cause they don't, I see the entity with my eyes, right? So that's not a normal thing for people, which, you know, for many years of my childhood, I didn't know. And so I spoke about it until I found out that makes you a nutcase. So you don't talk about it anymore for many, many years of my life. And then later on was like, fuck it, this is who I am. I'm not integrated. You know, I got to be who I am. And so that's really why it came about. It's not, it, you know, it's basically like this, like not everybody sees entity the way that I do, but you see the effects of entity every day, every single day, you know, that's the truth. And whether you want to believe it or you don't, doesn't change my work. I still have to keep doing what I'm doing. You know, it doesn't matter. Like if you don't believe in entity, it doesn't make any difference. Entity is still going to attach. They'd rather you don't.
Have you encountered another living human being that has a similar ability as you?
I mean, you know, it's hard to say yes or no, really, because you, like shamans, for example, have been working with entities since the dawn of time, right? So shamans tend to do, you know, energy removals and things like that. And, you know, there are different healers who do different modalities, like clearing fields and all kinds of stuff. I've never met anyone who has the sight that I do, but it doesn't mean they don't have something else that's their own, you know, like right. Different healers have different things. Like there are people who can like heal people physically, energetically, like physically, like they can do surgeries. We're all kind of born with our own stuff. Right.
Yeah.
And there are so many more people who have abilities and gifts that they've just stifled down. You don't even know you have.
Remind me, do you have other, you know, quote unquote, psychic abilities of, you know, can you see the future? Can you see, you know, I don't know. Do you have anything else?
Not really. Like I don't think so. I can do some mediumship. I wouldn't say that's like my forte, but in dealing with things like collectors and stuff, you have to learn. But, you know, and occasionally, like I haven't done these in so many years, but like I do, seances for my friends once in a blue moon in my like backyard. I have like a party and I do like a platform experience, which is basically like when a medium kind of stands, you know, on a stage or whatever, and things just, people just come in and they just say, this is what's coming in. And then people, you know, respond or don't respond.
Oh my God. How do I get on the guest list? That
sounds... No, you're on the guest list.
Oh my God. I want to come. That sounds so cool.
I can't wait to do another one. It's been like obviously quite more than a year.
Right.
The last one I did was when Refinery did a video. And I don't remember how much they show of it, but yeah. So that's like my only other gift, if you will.
Yeah. Well, can I?
But entity takes up a lot of my time. Let's just say.
It sounds like what limited time you have with all these projects. Can I play you some ghost voices?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, it's time for
EVPs or EV please.
Okay, all right.
So this first one is from someone named T-Tong-1 on YouTube.
Okay.
And this is the basement of the Memorial Auditorium in Wellington, Kansas.
Ooh.
Okay, what do you hear? Okay, like always, there's like a lot of background kind of noise, but there's like a whisper speaking. I'll play it again.
Okay. Ooh.
Do you hear something?
Yeah.
First of all, does it sound like a demon or a human?
I mean, deceased people, hard to tell. And I'll tell you why that is. Because deceased people, they move at a different frequency or a different vibration than we do. They're very, very fast moving. And so when they speak, like if they speak, if you actually catch it, it's a different modulation because of how quick they move than they would actually sound.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if people know that, but that's why.
So here, let me play it again. Do you have a guess of what it says?
I feel like it says something like, help me.
Let me play.
Oh, man, it's too low for me.
Help me is such a common EVP. It's like,
yeah, of course, yeah.
All the time. Okay, here's some options. Is it A, you want a piece of me? B, I hear a demon. C, get out of here. or D, go buy Sister of Darkness wherever you buy books. All right, let me play it again.
And I would love all of those to say D. But...
Here, let me play it again.
Is it C?
It's I hear a demon.
It is not.
Let me play it again. Let me play it again.
Oh, it is.
Actually, I kind of do hear that. I hear a demon.
It does sort of sound like that.
Wait, I'm going to play it one more time. I mean, I hear go by Sister of Darkness. okay, here is one more. This is from someone named Archbishop James Cloud.
And, hope I do
better. what is this one saying? Okay, there's some kind of, in the background, it kind of sounds like one of those spirit boxes or something, but I don't know if that's where this EVP is coming from. I think it was recorded otherwise. But, okay, here we play it again. It sounds more like a human.
Yeah.
Any guesses?
It almost sounds to me like he's trying to say his name. Like a Mr. something something.
Oh, I'm Mr. something something. Yeah, I hear a M sound. Okay, here are some options. Is it A, you're messy and drunk? Is it B, you're messing around? Is it C, you miss being young? Or D, Deborah messing is hot? All right, let me play it again.
Oh, it sounds like you're messing around.
You're messing around. Yeah, that's what they believe it says. You're messing around.
It does
around.
Yeah, it does.
They also think it could be saying you're messing with hell. And they also think that it's a demon saying this.
Well, I think these ghosts have a great sense of humor. And I just want to also say that deceased people usually do.
Yeah.
So... if they're in a space and they think you're hunting demons and you're there with the EVPs, like, talk to me, demon, they'll just say demonic shit most of the time.
Oh, my God. That is so funny. Because, you know, with comedy, so often, you know, it's people say it's rooted in truth and tragedy and sadness. And I can imagine that there are a lot of deceased people that are just, like, kind of twiddling their thumbs, maybe a little sad, and just, like, I'm looking for something fun to do, and I want to, you know, I want to have a good time not feel sad.
But, I mean, it's totally true. Like, if you look at how many things you've seen where you, you know, someone's in a place where, you know, like, I always talk about, like, I don't know if you remember this, and I don't know if we talked about this last time, but one of my favorite kind of ghost shows was MTV's Fear.
Oh, which is God, like, yes.
A million years old now, right? But it was one of the coolest, best, most well-done shows where you were just like, what the hell is actually happening? But you would see, like, they would go to a location, let's just say, and there were, you know, children who passed in this location, and then the little balls would roll around and stuff because they want to play, you know, they actually do, like, they're excited that people are there, you know, and they just want to interact and they want to be seen and noticed. That's why I always joke that, you know, deceased people don't shut up. Like, if you want to talk to your deceased loved ones, you came in with that ability. Everybody did. And to talk to their spirit guides and all of this cool spiritual stuff that people have just kind of stamped out over the years because they don't trust it and they don't believe in themselves, or they think it's crazy, or someone told them it was crazy, or, you know, all of that stuff. But, like, deceased people just want to be seen. They just want to know, like, they want to play. They want to tell you stuff. They want to, you know, if they're relatives, they want to give you happy messages. That's most of the time. That's all they really want to do.
When I think about with LA and, like, so many of our Hollywood ghosts and the people that died, you know, trying to get seen and trying to perform or whatever, that they're especially in the afterlife, like, I got an audience here. Let me... hello, my darling. Hello, my baby. Like, you know what I mean?
It's so true. That's why, like, whenever someone says, like, I think I saw Marilyn Monroe, and everybody's like, okay, why would Marilyn Monroe show herself to you? It's like, because why not?
Yeah. I mean, that's how she lived. She, you know,
right.
That was, and a lot of times I think people that are in, pursuing a career in show business or whatever, they kind of confuse attention with their worth. And, that's part of what fuels them is getting that attention or getting seen, getting validation. So I can imagine that in the afterlife, it's, same.
Well, and sometimes too, I think people who've been through it, and especially those who died from the industry in one way or the other, and then they see someone, trying to be something or feeling down or whatever in a place that they used to be, that they might show themselves just to tell you to keep going, to keep trying.
Yeah.
Be that message for you,
You've done a lot of celebrity exorcisms. Have you, in the book, you certainly don't name names or anything, but have there been any that have publicly spoken about it?
I think so, but I don't want to out anybody,
right?
In case I'm messing around here.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they've spoken publicly, but I know for a fact people have told other people in meetings and things like that.
Right.
So if someone has brought up, that they read something of mine or, that they were thinking about going to me, someone else will disclose to them that, I actually went and here was my experience and I think you should go.
Amazing.
It's hard for me to name drop unless they did. So if you are listening and you came here and you want people to know, just shout it out.
Totally. I want to talk to somebody that's been to you.
There's been a lot. There have been a lot.
But I get that. I get that. Well, I guess that's about it for this time. I'm so happy you came back.
Well, thank you for having me again. I had so much fun.
Yeah. Tell people where they can find you, where they can get your book and everything else.
Well, the book is Sister of Darkness. It is available all the places that you can get it. I have a lot of fun reviews that you'll enjoy on Amazon if you wish to read them. Some are great and some are terrible. You'll enjoy. I'm on Instagram and Twitter less, but on Instagram more at RH Davis, which is Davis, but with an ST.
Amazing. And we'll look out for you on our TVs.
Thank you so much. I hope you like all our spooky things that we're doing.
Thank you so much to Rachel, R.H. Stavis. And you should go check out her Instagram because it's very insightful. And I've seen on there before where she's like, hey, I had someone drop out. I can do an exorcism. So stop on by. Check out that Instagram. And also, if you want to hear a little bit more, patreon.com/RozDresFiles. Second tier has got a fun little conversation I had with her about various unexplained phenomena and what it's like when she sees an entity attached to somebody on TV and in person. Okay, so the thing that I wanted to tell you about. So toward the end of this conversation, I had asked her about celebrity clients because I want to talk to them. I want to hear what it was like. And, you heard what she said. But then I was interviewing RuPaul's Drag Race icon, Ben de la Creme, who is my guest next week. And we were just talking about ghosts and stuff. And then Ben was like, I actually just had an exorcism. And I was all, was it with somebody named Rachel R.H. Stavis? And Ben was all, yeah. So my dream came true and I wasn't even trying. So you can hear that next week. Ben will tell you what it was like to have a session with her. So make sure you guys are subscribed. Please send me your listener stories, ghostedbyroz@gmail.com, subject line, listener episode. Hey, can you rate the show 5 stars, please? If you have a ghost story, you can leave it in a 5-star review, or I just like it when you guys, write nice things about me, or just, don't write anything. Just give me 5 stars. That'd be nice. Thanks. I'm on Instagram at Roz Hernandez. It's a great place to find out if I'll be doing shows anywhere and that kind of a thing. I'm on Cameo at Roz Dresfiles. Join our Facebook group, Ghosted by Roz Dresfiles. And tell your friends about the show.
I love you all, both living and dead.
But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Star Bands Audio, a podcast network.